Our first reading today comes from Psalm 145. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your faithful shall bless you. They shall speak of your glory, of your kingdom, and tell of your power, to make known to all people your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and gracious in all his deeds. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. Word of God, word of life. Our second reading comes from the 7th chapter of Romans. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Word of God, word of life. Please rise for the gospel.
The Gospel according to Matthew, the 11th chapter. Jesus spoke to the crowd, saying, "To what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace, and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Our gospel reading today jumps around, and I had forgotten that we were reading the first few verses, so I was all of a sudden like, wait a minute, that's not right. But like last week, I'm going to be looking at Romans again. I talked last week about how the way Paul writes makes my head spin, and here we go again. And I will tell you, the reader complained a lot about it to me this week. Yeah, he says, what I want to do, I do not do. The thing I don't want to do, I do. And yeah, that's Paul. And once again, Paul is writing about sin. this force that pulls us away from God's desire for our lives, pulls us away from love and community, from joy and relationship, away from care and compassion for one another. Last week, Paul wrote about sin as a power that binds us, that holds us in bondage. And then in today's reading, Paul writes about sin in relationship to the law. Because throughout this letter to the Romans, Paul has been writing a lot of negative stuff about the law. So now he's at a point in the letter where he needs to clear up a few things. He needs to clarify that the law itself isn't bad. God's law isn't the problem. The problem is actually sin. And again, like we talked about last week, what Paul means here by sin is not some list of bad behaviors, but that force, that power bigger than us that drives us to live in a way that breaks relationships, that damages communities, that harms ourselves and others. A force that pushes us to live in a way that is destructive and hurtful instead of loving and kind. So the law isn't the problem, Paul writes. Sin is the problem. He's saying here that the law isn't the problem, but even God's law can become a problem because of sin, which is why he's been railing against it all this time, because even the law is corrupted and misused by sin. A good example of what Paul's describing here would be keeping the Sabbath. The law to keep a Sabbath was a gift from God, a gift to ensure rest, to ensure that we have boundaries around our work so that it doesn't just overtake us entirely. A law that helps remind us that we are not in charge of everything in the world. None of us are. And so we are able to set down our burden and rest. That's a gift. But sin takes that gift and turns it into a burden. Religious leaders extrapolated out laws and laws and laws about how to keep the Sabbath to the point where no everyday person could actually follow all of them. And so keeping the Sabbath at the time of Jesus had become a burden and also a litmus test for holiness, a way to judge people for how well they were keeping all those laws around the Sabbath, to see how good and holy they were. So this good gift from God, meant to help care for us, when misused by sin, became harmful and was even used as a weapon. And the church has done this in different ways ever since, taken the gift of Scripture and twisted it into a burden, a way of judging one another, a way of ranking or excluding others. Anytime Scripture and God's law is used as a weapon, is used to harm or exclude, those are examples of sin taking over and corrupting what God has given. The church has done this far too often and continues to do this, and so do individual Christians, because we are all vulnerable to this human tendency, this brokenness that Paul calls sin. In this passage from Romans, Paul writes about his own struggles, his own tendency to slide back into old behavior. Even though he knows better, he doesn't always do better. At times he feels as though he can't do better. Does that sound familiar to anyone here? It sounds familiar to me. How many things do I wish I were better at as a Christian? that I was more patient with my children and my husband, that I was more generous with my time and money, that I was less selfish with my use of the earth's resources, that I spoke more loudly against injustice. How much do I rationalize my own behavior? How many things do I do even though I know better? How often do I live in fear rather than faith? How often do I try to earn or prove my worth? These are struggles that are part of the human condition. As Paul wrote earlier in Romans, all of us sin and fall short of God's glory. And at the same time, Paul also wrote, all of us sin and fall short of God's glory, and all of us are justified, are made right by God's grace. Despite all of our shortcomings, we are all, each and every one of us, redeemed, saved, made right and good and beautiful in God's eyes by the freely given gift of God's grace. God created us and called us good. God forgives us our missteps and our mistakes. God names us and claims us and makes us enough. So we have been set free from this sin, this abuse of God's law, this attempt to earn God's love through some legalistic system. We have been set free from that yoke, to use Matthew's language, that burden that drives us to try and prove ourselves, prove our worth, that drives us to judge one another. God has removed that burden from our shoulders and replaced it with the goodness and kindness of God's love. Bound up in God's love, we can rest. We can drop the heavy burden, that heavy load of justifying and proving ourselves. We can drop the burden of trying to make ourselves look better by judging others. We can lay all of that aside and we can rest. This is freedom. This is the rest and the peace that is talked about in our gospel reading. We are no longer yoked to that which hurts us. We are bound instead to God's love. Free to work alongside one another, bound together in God's love, God's grace, and God's peace. Thanks be to God. Amen.